There's something very precious that all of us, if we consider giving up, we'd say, no, I definitely am not going to give that up. It's one thing that we guard. It's probably our most prized possession. We'd probably go ahead and give anything else up but this one thing that I'm talking about. I know you're probably trying to guess as to what I'm talking about here right now. And you don't have to work for Air Canada. You don't have to work for Canada Post. You don't have to work in the government of Canada in some office to have what it is that I'm making reference to. But for our first scripture, let's go to Leviticus 19, first one for today. Now what I'm making reference to is a possession that you and I have where we did not have to do anything to obtain it. It came along with life, and most people have it, but not everybody. Now this message today, I started, I'd say about a year and a half ago. It was one of those messages that I started it, and I lost interest in it. I left it. And I got looking a while ago as to what I could bring in my next message. It was about a month ago. I got looking in my repertoire of messages, and I came across this, and I thought, let me have a look at that. So this is something I started a long time ago. I just finished it yesterday, actually. But what I'm talking about here, most people have it, but not everybody. Okay? Actually, on a natural basis, you're going to wonder what this is now. We actually give up this thing that I'm talking about for quite a few hours in a day. We don't think about it, but we give it up. So what I want to focus on for a few seconds, I want to take this thing away that I'm talking about. I want you to give it up voluntarily, because I want you to focus on one word. I think you know what it is. Okay, you don't. Because this one word without this, maybe it will help you to focus on the one word a little more. So what I want to do right now is I want you to close your eyes. That's what I'm talking about. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to try and clear your mind of anything, any thought. It's pretty hard to do. Your mind's always spinning into something. The next thought is always there. The next idea is always there. But when I close your eyes and think about this one word that I'm going to tell you about. Here it is. Holy. The word is holy. H-O-L-Y. Now, open your eyes. When I mentioned that word, did anything become attached to it?
God.
That word holy is a word that has attachments, doesn't it? It's almost an automatic, yeah, it can be that. There's probably no real right or wrong. It's whatever jumped into your mind. But I wanted to shut your eyes there for a sec, just to say, wonder what, because you don't need your eyes to see that kind of thing, do you? So, did you actually draw maybe a picture in your mind's eye when that word came out? I did when I first tried it. Because you don't need your eyes to help you with that, do you? It's your ears, really. It's your thought. It's your thought process that's going on. Now, that word holy is very strongly connected to the Godhead, isn't it? Holy God, Holy Father. We think of Jesus Christ when we hear that word. That's pretty much an automatic thought and response, is it not? Now, we could say that it comes sort of with the territory. A holy God, holy Savior, holy Bible. I thought of Father, Holy Father. That's what jumped into my mind when I first did it myself. Now, it's very important because the overall theme of the Bible has to do with holiness, doesn't it, when you think about it? I don't know how many times holy or holiness is in there, but I went on my handy dandy online concordance and it was a lot. I didn't count them all. In the hundreds. I think it might have been 400 and somewhere. Some ridiculous number that's just, let's say it's a lot. Well, the call we've been given is to be holy, isn't it? Why? Because God is holy. And if He's holy, He's bringing us into His family. He's bringing us into something that's holy. So we are involved in that same process of being made holy. We must be holy because He's called us into His family to be like Him. Now here in Leviticus 19, we clearly see a change for Israel. Let's see what it says there. Just the first two verses. Here it is. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, however you want to look at that, was speaking to Moses. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel, to all the children of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" That's what he says there. You shall be holy because I am too. Okay? Now we too have been called to this very same process, haven't we? It's very much a change process. Do we notice something very important here? Because when someone calls at us, "Hello, Brent," or "Hello, June," or whoever, you don't need your eyes to see that, do you? You just hear it. But I mean, yeah, you turn over and look. So use your sight. But the hearing is most important, isn't it? Remember that message you heard a few months ago? And it was 7 times about the hearing back there in Revelation 2 and 3. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's an important concept, isn't it? Let's have a look at John the 8th chapter. We seem to be going to John the 8th chapter a lot. Let's have a look there. Look at what Christ says here. And remember that Christ never, ever sinned. Not even once. So what he is telling us here in John 8 has to be what? The truth. Correct? Yes. John 8, verse 28 and 29. Let me read that for us. It says there, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, and when you know, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, because as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him.'" Now, after reading that, we see that Jesus Christ did not go around speaking things that He made up on the spur of the moment. A direct addition to that would be in John, the 12th chapter. Since we're close by, only a couple pages, go to John 12. Let's add to that. I only want to quote the last two verses there in John 12, verses 49 and 50. What is this book that we all bring with us every week? Every Sabbath we bring the book. We use it day in and day out in our studies, in our meditations, and even when we talk to each other. I can imagine some of you talking during the day and you say, "Oh, look what it says here." You bring this book out and you make reference to it. Because of this change process that's going and coursing through our lives, this book has become of paramount importance to us, hasn't it? In each one of our lives. Notice that the book, it's not just any old book. It's what? It's a holy book. The holy, that word holy is descriptive to this book. And if you take a look at yours and mine. It says what? Holy Bible. Built right into the title of the book. Now this holiness ties us together in a sense that it contains basically all the great themes of the Bible. Let's quote. I read John 12:49 says there, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who gave me a command is what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So he's not making anything up. It is the first and foremost, this book is the very root and core of what God is. And that's what I'm talking about here, talking about holiness. And it is unquestionably central in our lives today as God's people. Now let me be even more specific with that statement. We need to be holy because God is holy. This is central to our calling and actually being chosen of God. Now how important is that? For us being holy, because people think of holiness, they think there's something, I've seen it in my own family, something weak built into this holiness. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. I see the opposite. I see strength. Remember what we read back there in Leviticus 19, okay? Now I want to read that back to you. Just listen to what I'm going to read to you. I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm not adding to it. I'm just catching your attention with this. Quote in verse 2 there, "Speak to all the children of the congregation of Kawartha Lakes, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am also holy." So, it's for us, isn't it? Definitely. Let's look at 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. When we hear the word holy, we automatically think of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Well, why? Why do we do that? Remember when you closed your eyes, you thought of something. It was probably something similar to what I just said. We think of God the Father and Jesus Christ, or we think of the Bible, we think of something attached to holiness, don't we? Because holiness is synonymous with God's deity. It becomes clear that we are now called to be holy as Christ is holy. In the Scriptures, there are so many places, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where these words, holy, or holiness is used. Let me quote 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16. I said 1 Peter 1, yes. First Peter 1, 13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," look at that, "obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in just some of your conduct." No. "In all of your conduct." Why? "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now, how is something made holy? Can man make anything holy? The only one that can make anything holy, really, is God himself, because he alone is holy. However, we have been given this call to come to this holy position, haven't we? In order for this to happen, we have to enter into a process, and that process is the process of sanctification. I don't know, maybe Wilma's been reading about that. I'm not really sure if she's read that. She's counseling for baptism and has to do with sanctification. Okay. Now, what is sanctification? Because there's a lot of definitions for it, and I went and found one. It's real simple. Here it is. Sanctification is the act of setting something or someone apart for a holy purpose or a holy use. The true Christians, and I'm going to say true on that one, are in a continuing state of sanctification after repentance and baptism by immersion and receiving of the Holy Spirit as a begettal from God the Father. Okay? God's called and chosen are referred to as what? First fruits, or saints, if you want to put it that way. Meaning that those who have been made holy by the sanctification of God, the Father. That's what sanctification is. It's a process. This process of sanctification concerns the holiness that God forms in us that reflects His perfect, righteous, and pure character. It doesn't reflect any of man's character. That is the holiness that God is. That is His essential nature. Holy. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Add to that. Isaiah 55 for some insight. There seems to be this, I'm going to call it chasm, that exists between what we are and what the Godhead is. And this might be a good scripture that I can use to show us the difference in fairly simple fashion. This scripture might help us to consider our differences, might help us to consider what holiness is. And the holiness of God is a quantum difference between what we are and what He is. There is a difference. We have to consider that. So let's carefully consider what it says here, how this reads here in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Think about this as I read it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, verse 8, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, in my mind, that's a substantial difference, wouldn't you think? Showing us the position of God's holiness and maybe any kind of purity that we might have. They're not exactly on the same plane, if I can put it that way. Why? Because we've all been tainted by sin. We're all impure. We're all damaged products, if I can put it that way. Jesus Christ in the flesh was not. When we consider God's holiness in comparison to ours, how great are those differences, brethren? It says right there, we just read it, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And we don't know what that measurement is. The measuring tape won't work. We just don't know. But let's just say this. It's got to be considerable. But God's holiness, if we think about it and be honest about it, is probably beyond our human thinking. God's thoughts are higher than ours, and He's on a higher plane of existence. Unquestionably, this purity is a purity that we were all of us in this room, and even all of God's people, this purity is a purity that we're trying to press into. Why would we want anything less to press into than perfect? Why? We're striving to be. What did Christ say? Be like my Father. He is el perfecto. He's perfect. The process that we're all going through now as first fruits is no small thing. And it's going to culminate into something that I've said many times is going to be over the top, incredible. The calling and the choosing of the elect of God, this whole thing has been going on for in excess of 2,000 years. And it's now, I hate to say this, but it's now, I feel, coming to a close. there's going to be a point in time down the road when the door is going to go shut. You've heard this before. This is not anything I'm scaring you with. You know this. Now, in simple terminology, let me put it this way. If you're not quite into the spaceship, or if you're not quite into the bus, get in quickly. Because I really have a personal feeling there's not a whole lot of time left. This process that we need to be involved in, called sanctification, requires something. It requires having on board God's Holy Spirit. Correct? Yes. Now, this is a huge subject, and I don't want to complicate it, but just touch on a few of the surface ideas, because there are many studies out there that you can do. We can take booklets out of the library here, and there's things I'm just not going to be able to touch on. It's a huge subject. There's been, on holiness, it can be a series, and I'm not qualified for that. I'm not going to give a series. This is one message, but you can go and study this yourselves. But I want to start it with this. I want to start out in the Old Testament. Again, we'll go to Exodus 31 this time. I want to show you some things here, because I believe this is very important. Exodus 31. Now let's remember that every one of us here are in this process of what's called sanctification, an actual bridging of that gap I talked about between God's holiness and our holiness. There's a gap, there's a bridge, it's not connected perfectly, is it? Exodus 31, in verses 12 and 13, says there, again, the Lord Jehovah speaking to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, am the Lord who what? Sanctifies you. And I won't go on any further. It talks about the Sabbath day. We know that the Sabbath has to do with holiness, right? One of the ways that God sanctifies us and sets us apart for a holy purpose is through the keeping of the Sabbath day. That's this day that we're keeping right here. On top of that, God reveals His plan and how that plan is basically going to work out. And I've said before that we don't see it perfectly the way He does. We see in part through the glass darkly. We come to understand this by keeping these annual Sabbaths. We understand the plan of God to a pretty good degree, I would say. So God sets us apart, and through the keeping of these days, we remain set apart as His people. We don't vacillate back and forth. We remain set apart. And I refer to these days, and you've heard me say this before many times, these are days that are different. Days with a difference. The Sabbath and the holy days are days with a difference. The world at large doesn't know about them. Why? Because they're holy days. Holy unto the Lord. The process that we become involved in is the process of becoming holy. It's a process of sanctification. And these days are special, and they are attached to this very process of sanctification. One of His names, people like to talk about sacred names. One of the sacred names for the Lord is the Lord who sanctifies you. He sanctifies us. Not any man, not the Pope, no person in the flesh. And that name, as I looked on the internet, and I don't know if it's exactly correct, it might be Yahweh, it might be Jehovah, but it's Yahweh Mekadishkim. Yahweh Mekadishkim, it's called. The Lord who sanctifies you. I speak English. That's how I would use it. The Lord who sanctifies you. Now, we don't make ourselves holy. We respond to the calling, don't we? In what fashion? In right fashion. And as we respond to the calling and grow, in this grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we're given something. We're given this mantle of holiness. We put off, don't we? And we reclothe ourselves with something else. We put on. It's called the putting on of holiness. Consider that. It's not that difficult. It's not rocket science, but that's what happens. We put on the mantle of holiness. Now, if you want to look at it this way, I can relate to this. Maybe you can relate to this. It's a day in and day out spiritual workout, don't you think? I think so. A process of developing something. A personal relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's happening during this sanctification process. How do we do that? Prayer, Bible study, meditatings on the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This goes on day in and day out. I know I'm not taking you anywhere that you don't understand. You guys, or you ladies, sorry, my apologies, understand this perfectly. Let's look at this in its reality and how this process actually works out. We don't just start keeping some of the biblical laws and become holy, do we? We don't just start doing that. You become holy because God set you apart, and in grateful thanks, you keep His law and grow in holiness. When we first hear God's word, we go through a period of what is called initial repentance. And you become baptized, and God washes away your sins. He does that. It's automatic. He washes away your sins. He forgives you completely. Are we through repenting at that point? Do we just stop in our tracks? I'm in. No. It's a process. We spend in this process of repentance, it's a day in and day out thing. We spend the rest of our lives in that mode. Holiness is very similar. When God calls me, you and I decide to live by the terms of what is called a covenant, right? We get into this covenant relationship and are made holy by entering into a holy covenant. But are you finished right there being holy? No. You spend the rest of your life in this process of becoming holy. It gets more and more involved as we move forward. It's a process that lasts throughout all of our life. Now on top of that, we renew our covenant. How often? Once per year. I have to bring that in. We're heading to that time of year right now. The Passover, it's called. On a yearly basis, we take the Passover. Is that a requirement? You bet. You bet that's a requirement. It's a yearly renewal. But there is an initial holiness that God does for us just out of the sheer legal pronouncement of doing it. He says you're holy. He pronounces that because you've come under the covenant relationship, right? And then you spend the rest of your life trying to live up, trying to learn, learn how to be the way of like Jesus Christ is. It's a pretty high bar. But we spend our lives doing that, don't we? Because He is the Lord of hosts, and He is holy. And it says, we read it already, and we shall be holy too. T-O-O, that means also. Sandy taught me that word. Now I think back to the Israelites being taken out of Egypt. Think of that for a minute. Well, no, nothing different here. This was all based on physical promises. We know that through our studies over the years. All based on physical promises, going into the land where the they were promised to have and have the ability to have basic freedom, physical freedom. Okay? Because under Pharaoh, they lived in what? They lived in bondage. They couldn't make their own calls. They lived under Pharaoh's bondage. We know that. They had responsibilities to live up to under God, but they didn't do it. They failed. Now, today, we have the word in front of us here, the complete word, as well as a down payment of something. We have the down payment of the Holy Spirit, and that lives within us, and that carries us through, doesn't it? And when we continually stay spiritually plugged in, and we see that that didn't work out in the past with Israel, with ancient Israel, they didn't stay plugged in. It's this covenant relationship that we plug into, that we renew every year. And that covenant demands that we keep the words of the book. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. But by doing that, we are learning to do something. That's what we're talking about here today. We're learning to become holy as God is holy. Romans 8. Let's go there for a minute. Brethren, all of what we are doing here comes with an incredible benefit. Besides being the right way to live, we know that this calling we have is really the right way to live. Even if there's no salvation attached to it, it is a proper way to live. But there is an eternal family life that we are going to enter into. And if we, and it's what we, I guess, can say, we look forward to it. And it brings this awesome peace of mind, doesn't it? We talked about that a little bit earlier. Think of that statement. Just to have what's called eternal life. It just boggles my mind. I'm sure it boggles your mind too. Can you imagine ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? I can imagine it, but it's kind of hard to really wrap your mind around exactly. I've mentioned many times that the best I can do is 64 years. I can't relate anything beyond that. June leads the crowd there. But through it, all this thinking, it goes on and on, doesn't it? We can't even begin to imagine it. It's just amazing. It's like a fantastic dream. I don't think you could dream as fantastic as what I'm talking about and what we're making reference here about this kingdom that's going to go on for 1,000 years and beyond. How about living in perfection forever? Imagine having this set of balances and comparing what we have left in our lives now and comparing it to what we have in what we have now to live out in the faith. Imagine the balances. And it would just go poof. The other side wouldn't have any weight to it at all. The spiritual side of the balances just outweighs this physical stuff that we have, doesn't it? All the promises of God far outweigh the dangers and the sufferings that we have today. And we have sufferings and we have dangers, but the promises of God just kind of like, whoa, it tips the scales over to the other side. Just like Paul wrote here in Romans 8, let's remind ourselves of that. We should be holy. Why? Because we're called to it, and God is holy. Romans 8, 9-21. Says there, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, if you do that, you will live. How long? I got written there, forever. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of the present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. That is amazing. For the creation was not subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now let's pick up something as well. That's quite a reading. That's where we're headed. But let's pick up a reading in Deuteronomy 28. Because in the churches out there in the around, Deuteronomy 26, my apologies. Because out there in the churches in the around, they say today that God has changed things. We are now living, as they say, in this new covenant, and that Christ does everything for us. Grace is tossed around in a wrong way. They say, just believe. Nothing is required. Well, is that true? Do we not have to do anything? We're heading towards Deuteronomy 26. Remember this, that Hebrews 13 and verse 8 tells us that Christ has always been the same. He hasn't changed. I'll quote it. He says, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also, Malachi 3 verse 6 says this, I am the Lord, and I change not. Okay? He is the Father. He and the Father, Jesus Christ and the Father, are perfect. And we too are called to that very same point of perfection. Deuteronomy 26. Under the subheading here, in my New King James, you probably have that in yours, it says, a special people of God. Now let's catch the drift of that, what that's telling us. Maybe the people that wrote that subheading could have also wrote a holy people or a set apart people. But a special people of God, that does the same thing. That should catch the reader's attention. Let me quote that for you. Four verses there. It says here in my New King James, this day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful. Verse 16, my apologies. 16 to 19 there. I'll start over. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised you, that you should keep His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations, which he has made in praise, in name, and in honor, that you may be, what? A holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. Everything that is within us, brethren, should be motivated or moving towards keeping these laws. I want to draw a couple more points out of these four scriptures. Verse 16, it says, be careful to observe them. Speaking there about statutes and judgments. Also, he goes on, he adds something else. He talks about the commandments. He says, also, just after that, you'll see that in verse 18, or verse 17 rather, he says, obey his voice. This is Moses speaking here. Obey God's voice. In verse 18, also today, the Lord has done something. He has proclaimed. He proclaimed these people to be special people. He wanted to get the ball rolling with them. So he proclaimed them holy in hopes that he would give them all these things in time, that they would actually come along and at some point in the future fulfill the idea of being holy people. Not just proclaimed, but really holy. That's the gist of what's being said here. He set them apart with the overall idea of actually working with them on this holiness scheme. Okay? God wanted to bless these people. He wanted to make them the greatest nation on earth, and through their obedience and their being careful with what? To obey his voice. They would in time take on the mantle of holiness. To be really and truly holy, just like God is. Now, we know, because we have the word that tells us, that only a few in Israel were really called to take up that challenge. Some of the patriarchs, we can't forget Moses and the prophets, and some of the kings, and possibly a few others. But of that whole multitude, only a very few. We don't know exactly how many. Abel's included with that. We don't know how many in the Old Testament were able to take on this holiness personally in their lives. But you know, when we think about it, it really opened up to us the coming of Jesus Christ. That's when it really opened up. And our being proclaimed holy. And our being given basically the same set of circumstances plus something else was added. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was added. Okay? So we have this great advantage that we truly can become God's holy people. Not just pronounced to be holy, but truly holy. By how? How can we do it? By growing in grace and knowledge in the character of God. Because a little further along the book, in Deuteronomy, here, and where are you now? Deuteronomy 26. Because in Deuteronomy 29, in verse 4, take a look at what it says. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4 says there, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. Because they just didn't have the tools. They didn't have God's Spirit, so they failed in this holiness. And they only got as far as being pronounced a holy people. They never truly became holy. They were as, if we can put it this way, they were as carnal as all get out. And that's what we are warned not to repeat. We don't want to duplicate that. It tells us there in Hebrews 3 and 4 that they did not enter into the rest that they were supposed to enter into because it was not mixed with any kind of holy faith. We read that in Hebrews 3 and 4. We won't go into that detail. You can look at that later yourself. Because they didn't have the faith. They did not believe. They did not obey. So what happened? They missed out. Two of them crossed over. The whole rest of them, a couple of million there, they all died in the wilderness. 40 years of it. Wandering through the wilderness. They didn't make it. But right now we have the opportunity to go all the way right into the kingdom. That's amazing. Right into the kingdom of God. God has this purpose to build holy, righteous character in everybody that God calls out. That what? Answers the call. We have to do it in a specific way. Let's consider something. Does God just wave this wand over top of us and get what he's looking for? Think about it for a minute. No. Let's consider Lucifer. He was one of the cherubs. I'd say one of the most important that we can read about in the scriptures. He was one of those cherubs that covered. He had amazingly important status. Now, in his good days, prior to his rebellion, he was probably seen as holy. Correct? I would say. Most beautiful, most talented, but somehow Lucifer got into this wrong mindset and didn't continue on with being holy. He went off in some other crazy direction. He went the wrong way. He was wrong way Harrigan, always going the wrong way. He ended up being cast out because he became something. He became enmity against God. No longer willing to cooperate. No longer willing to be on God's wavelength. Let's use this analogy. He got our frequency a bit, didn't he? He was no longer tuned in. Correct? Yes. Now some of us here have been in the church for many years. And some of us are new, just basically becoming involved. And we're involved in something, each and every one of us. Putting on holiness, putting on being holy, putting on a righteous character. It is a process. And I must say, it just can't be done any old way. We have to be willing, of course, to cooperate. And for the most part of it, it comes through years of practice, of putting off and putting on. On the other hand, there have been people in the church as well, as we all know this, for shorter periods of time. And then their lives ended. We've seen that. Victims of time and chance. Different things come along. We have to be what? Ready all the time. Yeah. It's real. We have to always be doing the best we possibly can. That is a given. We know that. The calling comes from God. We receive the Holy Spirit. We enter into the sanctification process, defined as setting someone apart for a holy use. Holiness. Holiness is the essential nature of God the Father and Jesus Christ. There's no getting around that. God as well is the only one that can pronounce or make something holy. Let's have a look at Hebrews 12. Back into the New Testament for a minute. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We'll have a look there. Once called by God and committed to His covenant, we are to be holy because we've already heard, we've already read, He Himself is holy. It is a commanded goal of all of God's people because He is recreating who? Himself. He's creating a family. He cannot recreate Himself unless the person becomes holy. You cannot become a God being outside of holiness. There's just no getting around that. It would be, I'll use the word, an oxymoron. It would be oxymoronic to have an unholy God with a true, holy nature. They don't go together. That would be oxymoronic, wouldn't it? Now, it says in Hebrews 12:14, look at that. It says that if we don't pursue holiness, we will what? Never see God. See that there? Second part of the verse. I just read the second part of it. That's all I wanted. That if we don't pursue holiness, we will never see God. We can't become holy with any amount of keeping God's law alone. No. We become holy by growing in God's perfect character. And it's righteous, by the way. Righteous character. With the assistance, we have to have on board God's Holy Spirit as well. We express holiness in our daily living, reflecting God's character in our thoughts, in our speech, as well as in our deeds. Now, a simple way to understand this is that we are to grow in the image of Christ. And when we do that, we become holier, don't we? You ever heard the saying, you're holier than now? I've heard that before. Now, the more like Christ we are, the holier we are. The more sanctified we become. The more different we are. The more set apart we are, and of course, we have to say, the more spiritual we are compared to a person who is not in the process of putting on Christ. We can compare ourselves to that. That's not wrong. Okay? Now, why would we ever want to throw something away that is a tool that God gives us to become like Him or to become holy? Why would we throw that away? It doesn't make sense. It would be like saying, well, I've heard this, you've heard it. Well, the commandments, they aren't needed anymore. Even though they teach us to be like God is. Remember that Sabbath day? It's a holy day, folks. We can't throw that out. Last year, we spent a whole year going through the commandments. Did we ever say in one of those sessions during that year that, no, we're not going to keep that commandment? No, we didn't. So, why should we throw the commandments away? They are the things that help us to know how to live. How? In holiness. To become like God. He's holy. Let's go to, I was going to say Luke 4, because we don't go there as often, but let's go to Matthew 4. I want you to consider this too. Matthew 4, we've read this thousands of times. I want to read it again. There seems to be, let's see, yeah. There seems to be this code of holiness that is really noticed. And you are going to relate to this when I bring this up. It's really noticed, especially when it comes to speech. Have you ever been talking to somebody that uses kind of bad language, and they use euphemisms, and they use this slangy sort of street language in their expressions. And it's almost a dead giveaway, isn't it, when they start talking like that? You know that they're not hanging their hat on any kind of holiness, right? It just kind of comes with the territory. So the comment here is that we have to be really careful of this rub-off effect. The world all around us is very infectious, and it wants to what? Rub off on us. It wants to rub us in the wrong way, the wrong direction. Now, Sandy and I remember a few years ago where a warning was given to us. The warning was this. I can't remember the name of the sermon. I remember this. It just kind of it stuck with me all these years. The person bringing the sermon said, be very careful who you hang around with during the sermon. And I'm sure we've all been in shopping stores, especially around Christmas, and we hear songs coming over the PA system, and a day or so later we're humming that song. Are we not? I've done it. We're humming that song we heard earlier in the store a couple days ago. That is a classic example of this rub-off effect that I'm talking about. If we're hanging around people that are cursing and swearing and carrying on, next thing you know, you're going through that in your mind. Those words are coming to your mind. I'm not saying you do that. I've experienced that. It's a rub-off effect. We've got to be careful of that. Let's read this. Try and look at it from this rub-off effect idea. I'm going to read from 1 to 11 here. It says there, Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? By old Scratch, the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, tried to throw him off, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Christ said back, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on his pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, again, trying to put doubt in his mind, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, unless you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7, and Jesus said to him, as written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the glorious things of the kingdom of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things I'm going to give to you, I'm going to give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I wanted to read that to you. For 40 days and 40 nights there in the wilderness, Christ was not taking any kind of physical in, was he? He didn't hear any songs. He wasn't listening to any profane language. You know what? He wasn't taking in anything physical, including even food. What was the mission? Think about it. The mission was purely a spiritual focus. He wasn't taking anything in from the around. Just him and the Father and the Spirit. Old Scratch tried to distract him onto the physical each and every time, didn't he? Notice that Christ never took anything physical until after the devil had gone. Nothing physical until the devil left him. Then what happened? It says in verse 11, the angels ministered to him. It wasn't even a physical person administering. It was a spiritual entity ministering to him. That's amazing. That got me. 40 days of that? Shows how holy he was, doesn't it? So, We are out there. The point I'm making is this. We read those scriptures. We've seen that, what he'd done. No physical, but we're out there in the around all week long, aren't we? And it wears on us. What is that? It's our wilderness of what? Of sin. It's all around us. So to speak, if I can put it that way. The seventh day, this 24-hour period was made holy by our Creator. In all of His genius, He made this day the day that was different from all of the other 6 days of the week. And we come together at week's end, after day six is over, and we come in, and I thought about this, you know, how can I put this? I think it's kind of like a shot of spiritual adrenaline. Yet we don't have any track marks on our arms. But it's a spiritual shot of adrenaline, isn't it? Spiritual adrenaline. Is it a worldly congregation or convocation? No, it's a holy convocation. Catch that word. Aren't you getting used to that word by now? I'm beginning to enjoy it. We take in as much as possible of the spiritual things into our life that we have in Christ. Week after week, month after month, year after year. Sprinkled within all this are what? The annual holy days, year after year. We do that too, same idea. We find out something amazing. And the around doesn't know about it. And if you told them about it, they would think you're telling stories. What are you talking about? They would say to you. We know what God is doing here on planet Earth, don't we? We know what He's doing. He's got an overall plan. Not that we see it perfectly. We talked about that earlier. We don't see it perfectly, but we see it good enough to understand what He's doing, basically. And I might say this. We know quite a lot. Because why? We're tuned into the holiness of God. That's why. He's creating us in His image. He's creating all humans in His image. We have to say that because nobody is being left out. Everything is going to be done when? At the appointed times. The small harvest, we know, it comes first. Made up of what? Made up of who? Saints? Better known as first fruits. Christ being the first of the first fruits. What an amazing honor it is to be in this particular position. It's incredible. The position of first fruits. Let's go to Exodus 19. So where are we headed? Where are we headed? To the kingdom of God. That's where we're going. Are we headed there geographically? No. We stay right where we are, don't we? But we still have to do something. We have to what? Come out. It says, come out of her, my people. We've heard that. We are still sanctified by a change of attitude, by a change of practice, by a change of conduct. Instead of immoral, we become moral. Instead of being unethical, we become ethical. And instead of being spiritual in the sense of the way Satan is spiritual, we become spiritual in the way that our great God is spiritual. That's the spiritual connection. It's called holiness. It's our coming out of these things I mentioned earlier and putting on a whole new set of clothing. a whole new set of values. That's why we are set apart, brethren. Geography at this time has little or nothing to do with it. The overwhelming majority of people who are being sanctified don't move somewhere like the Israelites did. Look at Exodus 19. Exodus 19, 4-6. Says there, do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer sacrifice of peace, am I reading the right one? Exodus 19, 4-6. Okay. And if I offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. But it shall be eaten the same day you will offer it, on the next day. And if it remains until the third day, it shall be offered and burnt in the fire.
19:4?
I'm sorry. I'm in Leviticus.
Ah.
What did I say? Exodus?
Exodus 19:4.
My apologies. Sorry. 4. Okay, I'm in the right spot here now. You have seen what it did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, as I read through that, you probably see a parallel there between what's going on, or what happened with them, and what is going on with us today. We've been talking about holiness here. Now, in one sense, really, when you consider it, not really a lot of change is taking place here between the Old Covenant people and the New Covenant people whom we are. Because let's now consider something that was written in the New Testament in 1 Peter 2. And I'll see if I can get to the right one this time. 1 Peter 2 and verses. I'm going to read the whole works here. Oh, maybe I won't. I'll just read 5, and we'll go from 5 to 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, says this. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're being built up as living stones, okay? It says also in verses 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim these praises to him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So there's the parallel. If you obey my voice, then I will do this for you, like he told Israel. This is a very close similarity between the two of us, between them and us. The major difference between the two is the contrast only between the physical and the spiritual. They were removed, we're not being removed. Okay? The physical or old covenant, Israel, was moved from one location to another, actually being physically set apart. And the spiritual, or the new covenant Israel, the geographic location doesn't change. We're not told to move anywhere. But we come out spiritually. That is where the contrast lies, doesn't it? Another way of putting it is like this. You may have heard this before. The old covenant was outward, and the new covenant is inward. Okay? The old covenant was national and temporal. The new covenant is heavenly and eternal. Don't forget that. Differences. There's differences there. The first one was temporary. The second one's going to be permanent and eternal. Think of it like this. Think of a construction job going on. Because that really is the illustration that Peter is making there. As Peter writes, he's seeing this building going on, being built by a stonemason. And the stonemason really is God the Father. And he's carefully building something. Perhaps the whole field up there is full of stones, these special stones. He's considering them all, but he only selects the ones which he's working on that will fit. Because some of them won't fit. Some of them don't want to fit. Okay? It's this very idea we once again see being built into the sanctification process. Are you willingly allowing God to work with you? Are you willingly being involved in the sanctification process and being what? Allowed to become holy? Because that's what we have to become. He says, remember we read it? If you're not holy, you won't see God. That's the deal. So this begins to put responsibilities upon each of these living stones that he's working with. And these are set apart and made a part of the dwelling place of God. Now we've already looked at 1 Peter, the first chapter. But here on this same page, our calling is to become holy in the sense of clean living. Now there is an illustration of priesthood, which is an active part of the stones, which are being selected away from or set apart from all these other stones that are in the around. Can you see yourself as that? You get all this stuff going on around you, and you've been selected. You've been set apart. Why? Because you're involved in becoming holy. That's what it is. Think about the phrase, called out of darkness into his marvelous light in order to show the praises of him who has called us. Verse 9. We read that already. We've been given, brethren, something that is so special. And it's this high calling, and high isn't even a good enough adjective. It's an amazing high calling. And it's something that we can't take for granted. It's special. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 states that if anyone be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. If we keep the commandments, if we keep the statutes, if we keep his judgments, the witness is going to be made. And the creation of holiness within us will actually take place. It's amazing. It's a huge subject. I looked at this thing, and there's ministers that give a series of sermons, 6 or 7 or 8 sermons on this one subject. I'm just glancing the surface. It's incredible. I hope I'm coming across with something that's reasonably clear here this afternoon. Holiness is something that's taken for granted. I want to use one more scripture. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 is where I'm going to go to now. Back a few pages. Ephesians 2:10. What an amazing high honor. Not only to be called out, but to be chosen for holiness. This holiness we have been given requires something. It requires great responsibility. says there in verse 10, Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It's a big statement. It is so exciting to be in the positions that we are currently in. And we refer to it today as first fruit status. Write that down if you want to write something down. First fruit status. Let's be zealous for this process of holiness that is taking place within each one of us. This transforming process to holiness is what comes natural for everyone. It becomes natural for everyone, but there's a caveat. Providing that there is an indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit. That's the caveat. It's natural now, because you've got something working in you that brings this holiness along. So let's work tirelessly to finish this race that we've all started and to receive the crown of righteousness that awaits us. Brethren, we're destined to something, and it's called this. Plug this in. It's a holy priesthood. This high calling awaits us. And as well, the voice of Christ is waiting for us. And don't forget that everybody's going to have to drink into this. If they don't, you know where they're going. Everybody. None left out. Everybody gets how many chances? One. Everybody. I'm not making that up. It's part of the code. It's called the code of holiness. It's amazing. This Most High God awaits us. And as well, the voice of Christ awaits us as he grants us entry. I've said this before, and I'm ending right here. He's going to say this. We want to hear it. As we put on this holiness in our lives right now, as we take on this sanctification process, and if we follow through, make it across that finish line, we're going to hear this. Well done. Good and faithful servants. Enter in to the joy of the Lord.